I'm Cassidy, one of your Indianapolis Colts cheerleaders, and you're watching the Believe in Colts podcast.
What's going on, Colts Nation? I'm Lawrence Owen. With me, as usual, is my guy, Donald Thomas. And today we are going to be talking about this Week 13 matchup where the Indianapolis Colts travel down to Tennessee in Nashville and face those Titans. And, well, I'm just curious, you know, Donald, on the face of things, we just found out that Jonathan Taylor is going to miss 2-3 weeks is what they're assessing over a thumb injury that they found out he had after the game because he was playing and it wasn't so bad, you know, at the time wise, you know, that they were, he reported it. They found out later, oh crap, now you got to have surgery. You're going to miss a couple weeks or so. What was your initial reaction when you saw that?
It's a huge loss for the Colts, just in their progression as an offense and what they've been trying to kind of morph into as they got Jonathan Taylor back late into this, you know, late into the season to try to, you know, create this identity on offense. And it's definitely changed the game plan. You know, when you have those finger issues, you know, I got cricket fingers and all that for football, and you think you can, they're not as bad as they are. And then you kind of get a scan on it and you see like you got ligament damage in there. You got, you know, necessarily you don't always just break bones. You get more ligaments and all that kind of stuff and arthritis, you know, creeping in and stuff like that. So it's going to be a hindrance, man. You know, it's unfortunate. You never want to see anybody get hurt. I'll be the first to say it, right? You know, preaching to the choir, but it sucks. But now Zach Moss gets another opportunity to show what he's about and what he's been doing from the beginning of the season. And I'm pretty sure, you know, he's, you know, not happy that his teammates hurt, but he's also happy for the opportunity to kind of go out there and show what he can do. And so I don't think the Colts should really detour from their offensive scheme. I think they just need to give Zach Moss the ball more and let him eat.
Absolutely. Me personally, I feel like, look, you know, the Taylor and Moss together was awesome, right? Like last week that we ran like what, 170 yards or something like that, you know, between the two, maybe more than that. And but we also got to remember that from week two to week six, Moss was second in the league in rushing, right? But when he was, you know, holding down the fort until Taylor got his extension and was able to come off PUP list and all that, he was second in the league in rushing and was doing a fantastic job out there. So I agree with you when it comes to the whole situation. Not really excited for Trey Sermon, because he's the backup, you know, he's the guy that's going to come in and be the backup for Zach Moss. But, I wasn't overly impressed with what I saw from him because he's supposed to be more of a guy who can catch out of the backfield. But, you know, quite frankly, in my opinion, he should just be there to spell Moss a few times because Moss has already shown he can catch as well. You know, he could do everything out of the backfield, which was really, really nice. Before we dive too deep into the upcoming game, I want to remind everybody that BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, NFL, NBA, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember, use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. So, we got our first little look last night at the injury report. They did a walkthrough, so obviously this isn't something that they bring out. You know, no one actually practiced. It's just, you know, an assumption of what they might have done during this walkthrough. And it's nice that he does walkthroughs, in my opinion, this late in the season to kind of give guys time to heal up, right? But Juju Brents with the quad still out. Isaiah McKenzie still out with a toe. Jonathan Taylor, of course, fresh on the list with that thumb. DeForest Buckner's had the shoulder injury for weeks. They had him limited practice.
He'll be fine.
I'm surprised he wasn't put down as DNP like the rest of the people because, you know, veteran. But to see Ryan Kelly back listed as a full participant from the concussion on a walkthrough is very nice to see. Drew Ogletree with his foot, he's missed some time. He's back at full with the foot as well, which to me says that today both these guys probably will be playing, which will be nice to have more people back. And, you know, Ryan Kelly should get cleared today to play on Sunday, hopefully. So that's good. What's your reactions to some of the guys that may or may not be able to play this weekend?
Juju Brents definitely hurts. We can't afford to have any type of any extra injuries to the secondary. That's the one that stands out the most to me personally. I think, you know, everyone else will be back. Isaiah McKenzie sucks he's on the list, but, you know, he comes back, he gets one target maybe. You know what I'm saying? So it's not a huge deal. He's not a big target.
Our return guy. He's our punt return guy. So,
Well, but that's the thing. We haven't been lighting it up on returns this year anyway. So it doesn't really affect us that much from a standpoint of changing the game. You know, DeForest Buckner, he's a vet. He's going to be up there. You know, it just is what it is. He's banged up. Who isn't banged up this late in the season? A shoulder, you know, you shoot that thing up and you're ready to rock. So it's just for him, it's just a low management kind of thing. Ryan Kelly's huge getting him back. Your center is your second quarterback. I say it all the time. So expect him to hopefully elevate the offensive line play. So, you know, those things in Jonathan Taylor, we already talked about, that sucks for him. I mean, 2 to 3 weeks at least. And then you just don't know how his thumb was really going to be once he gets back. So like, that's another, we'll tackle that at a later date, but yeah, I mean, getting guys back healthy, Ogletree helps out in the pass game and in the run game. I mean, he's a decent solid blocker when it comes down to it, you know, just to kind of help out, but he's good for, you know, one big catch in the game, two maybe, you know, so, but it gives us more options than it does of some of our other tight end options, like Mo's not a receiving tight end. We all know that. You know, he did have that big catch, but, you know, that's, you know, you can't bank on that. He's not going to come out and be like Travis Kelce, right? So none of our guys really are like that, but Ogletree's more of a receiving, you know, tight end. So that helps out tremendously in the offense, because we are losing who we've keyed our offense around in Jonathan Taylor. So other guys have got to step up, but, you know, I'm gonna come back to this Zach Moss deal. I think that this is big for Zach, and it also puts the Colts in a tight bind. If Zach comes back and you give him 3 weeks to go nuts, right? Now you got a guy that's like, yo, I'm a starter. Like I was second in the league in rushing the first quarter of the season. I'm at the bottom of the league in rushing now because you gave, you know, my touches have gone away, but not even cut in half. Like, you know, he's 30%. So it puts him in a tight spot, but nonetheless, they got to win football games. You got to give him the ball. I don't know how you can't pay Zach as well, what he's going to want at the end of the season or whenever his contract is up. So, you know, this is an audition for 31 other teams for Zach in a sense. And it's just the way the game goes. You know what I'm saying? You got to look at it from a perspective of get opportunity and you're not the starter. You get opportunity, you make the best out of it. And Zach Moss is a damn good back. He's proven that week in and week out when he was the guy. And so I hope that he has his mind right and he has a chip on his shoulder. And he gives the Titans hell this weekend.
Last time we played the Titans, I think it was, week three? We pretty well did a good job against them. Now, obviously, we weren't against Will Levis. So now that we have a different look at quarterback, pretty much the same team offensively that we'll be going up against. They got some young guys over there. Obviously, they got DeAndre Hopkins as well, right? But they still have Derrick Henry. And Tajay Spears lit us up. Wasn't Derrick Henry. It was Tajay Spears is the one that got the chunk yardage against us because of the his ability to – he's just a faster running back. And our defense last week – actually, since Grover's been out, we've said this every week – has not been very good against the run, right? Now, last week, obviously, as I watched the All-22, I saw, hey, you know, the linebackers kind of backed off a little bit. They were more worried about the pass than they were about the run. But this week, do you focus more against the run and getting pressure, getting in the backfield because of the rookie quarterback and the fact that they seem more dangerous running the football than they do passing the football?
Yeah, man, you possibly bring a safety down in the box. Give Levis some different looks, try to, you know, confuse him a little bit. I would stack that box, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't put everyone into the tackles. Like I would have, you know, I would have a guy outside, right? Two guys outside, right outside the box so that if these runs can't bounce, one safety over the top. Now, listen, I'm no D coordinator, but this is just how I would scheme it up, you know, and I know we don't do a lot of man, but this is kind of like a man kind of man coverage kind of game with this was safe one single safety high and make him throw the ball in duress, right? Under duress. Like you don't want him just to be able to sit back. We have good front four that they can generate pressure, but I'm just saying, like, you run blitz and you miss on a gap and he's out the gate. If you got guys sitting back in the zone or got, you know, someone running with the tight end. So you gotta You got to scheme it up to where I would err on the side of them running the ball heavy first over passing it. And I want to stop. I want to shut that run down. Right. And then create them to make them have to start throwing the football back. Our guys all play our regular coach style of defense, sit in that zone, let the front four get pressure and just start picking the ball off.
Indianapolis Colts last three games, 15 sacks, 7 turnovers over that span. My goodness. When you think of the Indianapolis Colts, is that a good thing, or do you look at it and just kind of like, oh, yeah, but look at the opponents we played?
I mean, that's just the way the cookie crumbles when you get a schedule. You can't, you know, like the only team that I'll give not give a pass to is the Dallas Cowboys. Like they beat up on everybody, teams that they should be beating up on because they're not good, right? But from a Colts standpoint, you know, it just is what it is. This is the schedule they got. These are the guys they have. So, you know, at the end of the day, this is the NFL. This is the best of the best. This is, you know, individually as a team, you know, some teams aren't good, right? But individually, you still got to win your matchups. And those guys can play football, you know, some better than others. And so we all have our different skill sets. But hey, look, listen, they're getting pressure. They're getting sacks. They're creating havoc. Whoever's in front of them, right? I mean, hell, you know, if they were to play, you know, the Eagles, I would expect them to start trying to do the same thing, right? Like win your matchups. You're a grown man. You're in the league for a reason. This is why you get paid the big bucks. Go out there and do the same thing you did last week or the weeks prior to all these other teams that aren't considered as good. So just because it's the Titans are 4-7. I don't care who it is. You could be freaking 0-11. We better have 5 or 6 sacks against this team because that's what our pedigree is, right? So go out there, you know, don't worry about the numbers. We know we're good. We know we're up there. Don't worry about the numbers and everyone just go out there and make plays.
All right. To me, it doesn't matter if you get 0 sacks and 0 turnovers as long as you get a W at the end of the game, right? Because there's a lot of teams out there right now that have been getting wins in ugly situations. I mean, some teams that come to mind, the Eagles – at times, Pittsburgh, you know, you look at them now, like, you know, we mentioned Pittsburgh last week looked good, but for the majority of the season offensively, they couldn't move the ball for nothing and yet still stacking W's. So it doesn't matter what the stat sheet says, as long as you win the game, right? Offensively, what is the key for success for the Indianapolis Colts to head down to Nashville and walk out with that W?
Establish the run game early. Establish it early. Give Zach Moss the ball. Let him feel, get comfortable. Let him feel, let him feel that he's the guy. Get him confident in the run game. Stress the run game to the offensive line, to the tight ends, to block so we can open up the passing game. I think, you know, the Colts' MO has been throw, 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 throw to start the game off. And I would like to see a little bit of mixture in there. Like, let's see what they're in. Let's see how they're going to play us, right? Let's, let's see how they want to defend the run. Oh, they want to defend the run like this, where they're losing out in the pass game. All right, we're going to exploit that. Right. But you got to you have to establish the run game in order for everything else to fall in place. The play action pass doesn't work if they know you ain't running the football. Right. So, like, we can go ahead and try to sell the fake, but they're sitting back. If you ain't running the ball, we know you now, because you guys haven't ran the ball for five plays before that. So run the football effectively, mix it up, get some outside runs in there with Zach. He does well with the outside runs, and he does well in between the tackles too. Establish it, be physical, and then, you know, don't try to do too much on down the field. I mean, you really haven't, right? Haven't been throwing deep shots anyway, so – you know, the 10-yard routes, the 15-yard routes tops, just methodically move the ball down the field, control the game, and make the Tennessee have to do what they don't want to do, is just sit back and have to pass the football with the rookie quarterback because they're behind and they have to throw the ball. You know, Derrick Henry is a guy that's going to get his yards. He's big, he's physical, he wears on you throughout the football game. So he's going to get his yards. He's going to get at least 80 yards, right? I mean, I'm going to give him at least 80. We just can't let him get 120, right? Like, he's one of those guys where it's like guarding like Seth Curry or somebody. He's going to get his 30, he's going to get his 25 to 27 points, but we got to make sure everyone else doesn't get 20 points and all that kind of stuff, right? So it's the same kind of mentality when you're going against teams like this. But you do have a rookie quarterback that you have to force him to make mistakes. And so a way for that is for the offense to do what they're supposed to do. But I want to see them go back to, you know, first 4 weeks of the season with Zach Moss and him toting the rock.
So the front four of this defense is pretty darn solid between Danico Autry, Tyre Terre, Jeffrey Simmons, Harold Landry. These guys right now, this defensive front line for the Titans, they've got some pressures and sacks right now. We all know what Jeffrey Simmons is. He's got 5.5 sacks so far on the season. Harold Landry's got 5. Autry has 8. He has been their big sack leader since they got him from the Indianapolis Colts 3 years ago. And we didn't, Terre wasn't, yeah, he wasn't even in the game when we played him the first time. He was out with injury. So how the Colts approach defending this defensive line that has really made a name for themselves in the NFL over the last few years defensively?
You have to protect the quarterback. You have to do what you've been coached to do at the end of the day. Like, quick passes, getting the ball out, is going to be one thing. Running the football will be another way to cut down on the sacks and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, you got to win your matchups. And, you know, if it's Autry's the guy eating, sometimes you got to slide the line his way, put a tight end over there, help guys out to feel comfortable. We can get a double team on a guy that's the sack leader. The thing is this, like, right? So, like, when I played and we were going against, like, D-lines that were really, really, really good, like the Colts, for example, you know, it comes down to, all right, well, you know that Freeney and Mathis are on those edges and they are the guys that are creating all the pressure and getting the sacks. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to chip out the backfield. Okay, we're going to put a tight end on one side, chip out the backfield on the other, slow the rush down so that we're able to do what we can in the pass game. And I see no different approach to the way that they should approach these guys, especially with a stout front four like they do have. Guys in the middle, we just have to buck up and sit down on the rush, you know, punch, set with your hands, move your feet, keep them in front of you. But, you know, when you deal with those edge rush guys, you got to be a guy that can just, you know, set vertical. I know I'm getting into offensive line stuff, but set vertical, use your hands, but also give guys help. Don't just put guys on the island too, because sometimes you're running 90 to 100 plays on offense. That's a lot of sets for a guy, one-on-one matchup. But if you start chipping a guy or adding the running back to help chip on guys before he releases, it slows guys down and it's they're less reluctant to rush as hard and try to create movement and all that kind of stuff. So that's the key to slowing any front four down that's been getting pressure. It's the key to slowing, you know, the Colts down. But guys are going to win one-on-one matchups because they're just that good. Like DeForest Buckner is inside. He's causing havoc. He's a guy that, like, you could put DeForest Buckner in a 3-4 and he'd be a defensive end and still cause havoc, right? But when you put him at a 3 technique, it's trouble for a lot of guys because, you know what I'm saying, guys can't, you know, a lot of movement like that. He's not a 320-pound guy, but he's got long arms. He's strong. If you get a guard to start moving with his feet and you get his weight one way and you can counter faster than he can counter, it's a win. So, you know, there's no different on the other side of the ball when we're going against Tennessee as well.
I got an offensive line question I've been meaning to ask you for a while. So I've seen, while watching games, this happen in pass pro three different ways, right? Three different ways I've seen where the ball snap, the offensive line takes their step back, and then they engage, right? Or get engaged, I should say, right? In pass pro. You'll see a guard where no one is coming at him. There'll be someone on his left with an engagement. You'll see someone on his right with an engagement, you know, whether it's the center or the tackle. I've seen all three ways where the guard just stands there, arms out wide, head looking around, doesn't move. I've seen him then also go towards the center and help, or mm-hmm. I've seen him go to the tackle and help.
Mm-hmm.
What makes the decision in a situation like that?
So, all right. So, for example, if I'm in man protection and I have let's say I'm playing right guard. Okay, so center's to my left, and it's an over front tight ends on the left hand side. So you're gonna get a 3 technique over the left guard. You're gonna get a shade or a 2-eye. 2-eye being on the inside shoulder of the guard. The shade being on the center. He's shading the center. And so that's gonna determine where the guard goes. Okay, so if we're in man protection and the Mike's over the right guard, he's pointed, like we call Mike 55, he's to the right. Well, now I have a sort set, right? So now we've got 3-for-3, really 3-for-4. So the guard, center, and tackle, right, on the right-hand side are responsible for the 2 down linemen, the Mike linebacker. The Mike doesn't come, we got the plus one, could be a safety, could be a corner blitz coming from the other side. So when I take my set now, I have to take a vertical set. We'll call it a sort set. I take a vertical set where I'm going to give presence to the center, right? I'm just giving him as a hand. If he were to rush over towards me, I'm going to take that shade, and now the center has the mic responsibility if he stays on that side in between the shade and him. Now, if he goes outside of me and rushes into that B gap, we got to push the whole thing because I have to take the mic now. But when the mic drops, right, and the shade rushes and center's got him locked up, now I'm kind of in no man's land because I took a vertical set. So now I'm going to eye the center up. I'm also going to watch to help out my tackle just in case he gets an inside move and I can go clean that guy up. And so, like, you'll see that a lot in man protection more if the guard's uncovered and he takes his set and no one's around, then he has to go find work. So, like, when I was in New England, our coach was like, go find work. This is a BS set right here. We're watching film. Like, go find work. I don't care who it is. Go clean somebody's clock. Like, so you'll see a guard, he'll look around and, like, who can I get the edge on? Who's hanging off? Now, if that tackle has the end stays wide on the outside of him, I ain't running out there because I'm not going to be able to help that. There's no purpose. By the time I get all the way over, gap,
right?
Ball should be gone, right? So now, yeah. I'm going to look back inside, and if that shade is hanging off, I'm going to go ear hole him and try to knock him off the center, you know, and then lay on top of him or something like that. But so that kind of determines, like, you know, and you see it more in a 3-4 against a 3-4 defense where you'll see a guard in man protection. You'll see him just kind of in no man's land. Now, if we're slide protecting and you see that uncovered guard, 9 times out of 10, he's either, if we're sliding right, we're sliding towards the tackle. If we're sliding left, I'm playing right guard, I'm sliding towards the center. And so I'll take the shade, and the center will become the guy that kind of is the help guy. So it just all depends on the defensive front and the type of protection that we're in.
Okay. All right. I was just curious about that because I've seen it so many times, you know, watching film, just sitting there going, why is dude just standing there with his head going like this?
That's now, I will say this.
Good, you know?
I will say this, like, against a 3-4, when you're playing a 3-4 and you're uncovered, you know, the guards have an easier day, in my opinion, because 9 times out of 10, we're uncovered. If they don't bring that outside edge guy, you know, like that Will linebacker, the Jack linebacker, we'll call him, on the outside of defensive end, then, you know, I'm kind of chilling and just kind of helping out, which is nice, right, because we can be lazy sometimes too, I'm not going to lie, but, you know, for the most part, you got to find work and get engaged and like help your other fellow brothers out on the line.
Okay. All right. So let's get back to the game. It's time for predictions. Give me your prediction for this Sunday, 1 o'clock Indy in Nashville.
31-17 Colts.
Oh, wow. That was just straight up right on it. I haven't really thought hard about the game and predicting the game yet. Let me give me one moment here, kind of figure out the way it should go. I think there's going to be more running in this game. I think there's going to be some clock eating. I am going to go 24-13 Indy.
All right, so fair close. Enough.
We're close. We're like four points off, you know, either side. Yeah. But, hey, you know what? If either of us get it, that's awesome because that means the Colts will go to 6-4. That would be amazing. Turn over 7-5.
Yeah.
7-5. That's right. My brain is not working proper. 7-5 is pretty awesome considering, like I said, you know, beginning of the year, I said I thought the Colts would hit 6-9 wins. They're already at 6. So, you know, they've already hit the minimum. Let's see if they can't break that 9 win. Last week when we recorded, you said there's a good possibility they could hit 10 wins this season. That would break my maximum.
And that would break mine too. I said they were a 9-win team, so they're on pace to break it. If they can stay the course, understand the severity of the rest of the season, which I think that they do, they'll be getting into the playoffs in good shape.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's going to do it for myself and Donald Thomas here on Believe in Colts, brought to you by Bet Online. And as usual, go Colts.
Go Colts.
Do you believe?